Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. I am your host, Richard, and I will be with you throughout this journey. This show is here to empower individuals to do more in life professionally. You will find a variety of topics that will help you to be more productive and more successful. So join me and the professionals from different industries as we bring education and knowledge for more success. Hi, if this is your first time listening to the show and you like it, subscribe to the podcast at the end and please give it a review. Share the episode or the show with someone who you think would like it. And to all my faithful listeners, thank you for keep on listening. And if you could do the same, give it a review, share the podcast or the episode, it would be very appreciated. So on that note, thank you and let's get started.
Hi, everybody. My name is Richard L'Espérance and I go by the name of my man, Richard. Welcome to A Better Lifestyle. Today, we're going to talk about real estate and I have the pleasure to have Bronson Hill with me. He's doing some great stuff in the real estate industry, so he's pretty successful. So I think you guys are going to learn a lot. So please, Bronson, give us a brief resume of who you are in about 2 minutes, and we'll get started.
All right, sounds great. Yeah, I'm excited to be here, Richard. So my background, I was actually in medical device sales. I did that. I've been going into hospitals and surgery for about 10 years, selling medical equipment and supplies to heart surgeons. It was very interesting. I enjoyed it, but I didn't like that I didn't have freedom over my time. And a lot of people that work in the medical profession have trouble taking vacations because it's such a, especially in the U.S., it's a very busy job. There's a lot, of hours, not a lot of time off. And so I wanted to have more freedom over my time. And so, I was making a good salary. I thought, how can I replace my living expenses through real estate? And again, a lot of people that become wealthy or people that I saw that were, living the lifestyle that I wanted were really had done real estate. So I basically had been doing single family rental for years, and then developed a small single family portfolio, wanted to get to 30 houses, but I had a cousin who was in doing multifamily apartments. And he said to me, well, why don't you do multifamily? Why don't you buy bigger apartments? And I said, well, I'd love to, but I don't have the money. And he said, well, that's fine because you can raise the money. And so there's something called syndication, which involves raising money to buy some of these larger deals. So it's been about 4 years now. I've raised about $30 million to buy about $200 million in real estate. A lot of times it does take money to make money, but it doesn't have to be your money. And so that's been one of my processes, just learning how to raise money, how to work with passive investors, and really how to create value for others. So I was able to leave my corporate job about a year and a half ago and just go full time in real estate, which has been awesome.
Okay, so you own several businesses in the real estate industry, right?
So we have about 10 properties. So we've got about 2,000 multifamily units, and so they can be treated like different businesses. I have partners that help operate, or we help kind of run these properties together. And the goal is typically to hold the property for about 5 years, 3 to 5 years. We do a bunch of renovations, and then we increase the value of the property by increasing rents and doing those renovations. And so that's our primary business. We also do have a fund that invests in the ATM space. So automatic teller machines that people go and get cash out of. We're partnered with the fifth largest operator of ATMs in the US. And so we have a fund that allows retail investors to invest in that. And then we've got a car wash deal that we recently started as well, where we invest in so we have some different things that we're doing, just trying to create value for investors. And really at the end of the day, the investment or the asset class is not as important as what it does for you. What are the tax benefits? What are the returns? How does it help you as an investor get closer to your goals?
Was it a easy road to get to where you are today in the real estate game?
I wouldn't say it's easy. I mean, I think, I'll actually say this. There's a motivational speaker. His name was Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. And he said, if you define easy as it can be done, and hard as you can't do it, then everything becomes much more easy, right? Because it can be done, right? So there are things that a lot of times we say, I can't do it. But really the question is, well, how can I do it? So is it easy, you know, in the sense of like, does it take no effort to do what I've done? I said, no, it takes effort. It takes consistent effort. But I think you can learn anything and you can do just about anything by meeting the right people, by getting in the right rooms and really asking questions. There's a quote that says, you know, you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. And so if you want to change, you know, your financial life, you want to change the way you, you know, your fitness level, you just need to be around people that are really good in those areas and they will force you to grow. And so that's been a really powerful way that's helped me to grow. So I wouldn't say it's necessarily, it hasn't felt impossible, but it hasn't felt like, it hasn't felt easy, right? It's felt like it's been consistent effort. But I think anything worthwhile really takes effort. I mean, there's nothing that I know of that's really worthwhile, really meaningful, that doesn't take, quite a bit of effort.
Hmm. So what are the challenges that you faced in your journey and how did you overcome them?
Well, I actually had an experience when I was, it was about 10 years ago. I thought, oh, I know I want to try to increase my wealth. And so I discovered this options trading strategy and I started to get involved with it. I learned how to do it. And so I followed the system and I made about $20,000 in a couple months, maybe 2-3 months. And then I had one day where I didn't do something right with the system and I ended up losing $70,000 in one day. And that was at the time, that was about, I had about a net worth of about 200,000. So that was like over a third of my net worth, right, in one day. And so just, you can imagine going through that and what would you do? You know, you have something where you felt just a major setback, you know, self-talk, you think, oh man, am I dumb or what's, am I not following the system, whatever. But I learned is that, you know, there's a lesson that can come out of everything. And I have a friend who I know that he came from nothing. He made $50 million. And then he had it all, then he lost it all in 2008, and then he made it all back. And he said, you know, in my life, everything is either success or it's a seminar, right? So either it's going to be successful or you're going to learn from it. So nothing is wasted. So what did I learn from losing $70,000 in one day? I learned that, you know, I'm not a great options trader, right? That's really what I learned, that I can focus on real estate, other types of investments, but something that requires a lot of technical, you know, okay, what needs to be done in this situation? Or how does this work? That may not be the best seat for me. So I think anybody who's looking to grow their wealth, you got to figure out what is your edge, right? What's your competitive advantage? It could be, you know, you work a certain job and it gives you an advantage there. You have a business, you can understand finance. So I think if you can do something that really allows you to take advantage of what you're good at, that's really powerful.
And where is, how do you get financing for all your real estate deals?
I mean, it's similar to like in the U.S., we have, you know, with single family, there's financing available. Multifamily has financing as well. It's changed a little bit it's changed quite a bit actually with the rise in interest rates. So it's getting harder to get good debt. Right now, it's harder to do, you know, recording this January of 23, it's harder to get financing for deals. And instead of putting 20% down for some of these apartment buildings, we're going to put, you know, 30, 35, 40% down. So it's changed a lot of the financing that's changed lately. But there are banks, there are lenders, there are groups out there that even still are looking to loan and try to find ways to help people get into apartment deals.
And how do you, when you're selecting, going through finding deals, how do you evaluate the property to see if it's a good return of investment?
Yeah, so there's a few things that I do. I'm actually writing a book now on passive investing, and I talk about there's three things when it comes to evaluating any deal. And I've heard this actually is very similar to how people evaluate things in venture capital or other sorts of investments as well. First thing is the market. So looking at, we buy in markets where we see population growth, job growth, and income growth, because we know if we buy in the right markets that are growing in population, there's more jobs that are coming there. And you know that's going to really lead to higher rents over time because there'll be more demand, right? Versus so we buy a lot in Jacksonville, Florida. We're buying in Atlanta, Georgia, a place like Cleveland, Ohio. I've owned there before, but it's really a flat or declining population. So it's hard. You're not going to get the huge influx of people, which is what causes rents to really rise. So we look at the market, and that again, that exists whether you're looking at tech, you're looking at one big trend now is senior care or senior living, or you know, that's a huge trend. A lot of people are getting older, both in the U.S., I imagine Canada as well. So buying in the right market is the first thing. The second thing is looking at the partners. Are they people that have similar values to you? What's their reputation? Is there somebody that has a lot of experience? Do they communicate honestly and transparently when things don't go well? So those are things that we look for. And then the actual deal itself, we're looking for something where we can just really see in the business plan. We can see something that looks like, okay, this group has done this before. This deal makes sense. This is something that's not like we're going for the best case scenario. We don't want best case scenario. We don't want to catastrophize. We want to have something that's kind of a reasonable idea of what could happen in this particular deal. And as we look at that, we know certain areas may go better or worse, but in general, if a deal can just kind of achieve what, you know, it's kind of set out to do, that's really a positive thing. So we can find other investors that invested with this group or in these type of deals, or we've done it ourselves, or we've operated these deals before. We know there's a high degree of success. And we've got 1,500 units in Jacksonville, Florida. We know when we buy a similar property, we know really what the issues are going to be and how effectively we're going to be able to achieve that. So I think it's just really looking at the market, looking at who are the partners, looking at the actual deal and how, you know, does it make sense to me? Do I see how I could make money? What's the biggest risk of this deal? Every deal has risk. And so I always try to figure out what's the biggest risk of me losing money and just, you know, am I comfortable with that risk? Does it seem like, okay, I understand the risk here, but I don't think that's going to happen. So those are a few things I look for.
So speaking of risk, how do you manage risk in the real estate industry? Like if there's a downturn in the economy, they always say that real estate runs in cycles. So how do you manage risk?
So yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think people think of the real estate market as just, oh, it's just the real estate market. People ask me, oh, how's the real estate market? But I'm like, well, what do you mean? Do you mean single family? Do you mean multifamily? Do you mean commercial? Do you mean in the city? Do you mean in the suburb? Do you mean in Los Angeles where I live? Or do you mean in Florida? Do you mean it? Like there's so many markets and submarkets. So one of the ways that I try to really protect capital and really invest is I used to, there's Warren Buffett has this phrase, the great investor Warren Buffett, it talks about a margin of safety, right? A margin of safety is just that if things don't go well, are you going to be okay? And I look at a lot of investment in real estate is done through something called REITs, at least in the US, real estate investment trusts. These are publicly traded. They're very liquid. Basically, the challenge with it is they buy typically only the nicest, newest buildings or properties, whether it's commercial or apartments or different things. And the challenge with doing that is that that is the real estate market. So when the market goes up, those go up. When the market goes down, that goes down. There's no what we call value to add, right? So we're buying older apartments that are typically built in the 70s or 80s. We're going in, we're fixing them up. A common example of this is in Jacksonville. We're buying an apartment where, you know, it's 220 units, and basically it, you know, rents are $1,000. But after we do a $6,000 renovation per unit, we see the rent rise to about $1,500, right? So that's called forced appreciation. So there's two types of appreciation. One is called market appreciation. The real estate market goes up, you make money. The real estate market goes down, you lose money. Well, forced appreciation is different because it's saying that with renovated units in that property or in that area, this number already exists. 1,500 already exists in this property or in this area, and we're at 1,000. So all we have to do is do those renovations and we'll get to 1,500, right? So that is a huge increase in the value of the property. If the valuations don't change, if we renovated all of the available units, we can increase the value of the property by like 50%. So in that case, really the risk is, are we able to come in and are we effectively, do we know that we can renovate like 80% of those units within the next couple of years? I think the answer is yes. We've shown we've been able to do that. We've got a great team members. We've got a great construction crew. We're able to do all that. And so that no matter what happens with interest rates, no matter what happens with, you know, valuations and other things, as long as we can do those renovations, we're going to be just fine in that deal because we've added all this value. So it's very similar to if you look at a single family investor who does flips, right? You buy a dump that's in a great area and you go fix up the house. Well, it's going to be worth a lot more, right? So that's kind of what we're doing, but we're holding these properties for the long term. We're cash flowing while we're holding them. And we know that as long as we, you know, do that, you know, value add component, we put the forced appreciation in there. We know that the property is going to do just fine and be worth more.
What are some tax advantages in the real estate?
Yeah, so this is a good question. I think it's different in Canada than it is in the US. You know, in the US, there's some incredible advantages. I'm sure there are some in Canada as well, but with real estate in the US, basically for money that's invested, there's something we, you know, depreciation that comes through the investment. People can often defer or sometimes just continue to eliminate taxes through the investing and just by able to use this depreciation against the income from the property. So there's some really unique benefits that are tax benefits in the account in these particular deals. Also in the US, we have something called the real estate professional designation, which basically allows for some people to be able to, you know, just almost eliminate taxes for people that are, you know, real estate, you know, full-time real estate investors or full-time real estate professionals. So again, I'm not giving anybody any tax advice, but there are some unique opportunities out there that really allow for, you know, great tax advantages.
Mm. You also do, I believe, commercial real estate, right?
So commercial is basically the broad area where, I mean, at least in the US, we talk about commercial. So within commercial, you have, you know, warehouses, you've got multifamily apartments, you've got retail, you've got all kinds of, you know, strip centers, you got, you know, all these different things together. So commercial, are you talking about more like industrial or retail or warehouse or?
No, I'm just saying if you're doing commercial real estate, do you do
that? So multifamily would be a subset of commercial real estate. So when you get above, you know, I don't know, 20 or 30 units, typically that's considered commercial real estate. Okay. And that subsector would be multifamily. Yeah.
Okay. So what would be like the pros and cons of commercial real estate? Like if you're really getting to commercial.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, you know, it really depends, Richard, you know, if somebody is a passive investor, if they're looking to, they're a high earner and they're looking to reduce taxes or grow their wealth passively. If somebody, you know, and I always ask the question, you know, as opposed to what, right? So as opposed to the stock market, you know, is it better to be in commercial real estate as opposed to single family investing? So some other questions that kind of go with that. But I think for people in general, I think it's better to go larger than to go smaller. I think when you go to smaller housing, like single family, a lot of people I ask, and I work with a lot of passive investors, you know, I asked this question. I said, well, you know, if you have two rental houses, could you 10x your investing strategy? I mean, just from a time basis, you know, could you do that either from money or time perspective? And a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I can hardly manage the two now, or I have a property manager. I don't know if I go to 20, how would I even acquire that? Well, then that shows kind of a challenge of, you know, really not being able to scale. And with commercial real estate, you can. A lot of very wealthy people, they did a study and they found that of people that had a net worth of over $10 million, 26% of, on average, 26% of the net worth of these individuals was in commercial real estate. So that means multifamily, it means apartments, it means, you know, it could be warehouses or retail or other sorts of larger real estate. But it just gets much, much more efficient. If I have a single family house, or let's say I've got, you know, 100 houses in an area, it's very inefficient, right? Because I've got 100 roofs, I've got 100 sets of plumbing, if I've got a person doing repairs, they've got to go from their office over here, they got to look at the part, and they got to figure what it is, go to Home Depot and come back. If I have it all in one location, it's a much, much more efficient asset. You typically have very similar appliances, you got the same paint colors, usually that you get a discount on their time because they're full time dedicated just to that one property. So I would say there's a reason why some of the wealthiest people in the world have the highest amount of their net worth in larger commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm. What are some biggest lessons that you've learned in your journey?
I think there's a lot of lessons. I mean, I think when it comes to investing and it comes to, you know, how to grow wealth, Warren Buffett has this saying, and he says, you know, unless you learn how to make money when you sleep, you'll work until you die. And so, you know, when I reflect back on my time working with physicians, there's a couple of physicians that I know that made over $2 million a year, but they were working 70 or 80 hours a week. And I just realized that according to that definition, they weren't actually financially free, right? People think they want financial freedom, but really what they want is freedom of time. Because when you have freedom of time, you can do what you want when you want, you can go where you want. You can, like, if you have enough, you know, passive income coming in, you can basically decide, do you want to work? Or how do you want to work, right? So I think a big lesson for a lot of people is that even if you're a high earner, even if you have a business, even if you're making millions of dollars a year, is it really something that allows you to have your time back? Because I don't think working 80 hours a week, making $2 million a year is actually financial freedom. I think it's actually that, you know, you have to keep doing that or else you're not going to make that money. And what do you do with the money that you make? Can you create a revenue stream over a few years that generates, you know, $1 million or $2 million or whatever per year, and you can live that lifestyle without having to work for it? And I think that's the making money while you sleep that we should all try to aspire to.
Hmm. So if someone is in the real estate game right now and they want to scale up their game, what would you say to them and how would they do it?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, both in Canada and the US, there's some great conferences that exist. There's meetups that talk about real estate. I think, you know, real estate is something that, you know, a lot of people, they are familiar with because obviously we all of us live in a house or an apartment somewhere. But I think, you know, there's really two things that really get people to the next level. And to me, that's how I've 20x my net worth in the last 4 years is really through networking, you know, getting in the right rooms, talking with people, asking questions, finding out what people have been successful. And this, you know, involves, like I mentioned, meetups. It could be conferences that talk about real estate or other forms of investing. I go to a lot of conferences a year. I probably go into 15 or 20 conferences a year just because I learn so much and I get so much out of it. And then the second thing is, you know, I meet very interesting people. So you get basically a networking component and you also get an educational component. You hear people talk about things. They talk about the economy. They talk about real estate. They talk about their experience and you learn. You're like, oh, this person did this. They were in the same type of job I'm in. And if I just maybe did similar actions in this way, maybe I could also do the same thing, right? So there's this saying, Jim Rohn, the same guy said, you know, success leaves clues, right? So if I believe that success leaves clues, if I just get around successful people and I ask questions, and if I try to really find a way to bring value, I'm going to learn a lot. And I may even be able to you know, do a similar type of thing that they've done. So it's, none of this stuff is original, right? There's nothing really new that you can do that somebody hasn't really done something similar. So I think it's just getting around successful people, sometimes even paying to be in the room, part of being a part of masterminds or groups that are kind of groups that are fee-based to be a part of. But when you get in the room with really successful people, you can't help but have a perspective change and you'll learn a lot, which I found to be really powerful.
Mm-hmm. So if someone is not in the real estate game, but are thinking about it, what would you say to them?
Well, I think you have to clarify what your goals are. You know, what do you want to do? I'm in real estate. We also do other things like, you know, we're doing ATM machine funds and car washes or a car wash deal and other types of things. I also invest in precious metals and other things. But I think the important thing is to say, you know, if I could live any life, what kind of life would I want to live? What sort of income would that be? What would I want to be doing? And I think what really makes that dream or that vision more powerful is to have a strong why. I mean, a lot of people that it's about yachts and Mai Tais and just trying to get to the Rolls Royce lifestyle, that's not really my big thing. My big why is today in 2023, there are 20 to 40 million human slaves in the world. A lot of people don't know that that exists. And my big why to, you know, become financially free is to help try to end that and try to stop that. And so that's my big why. And so when I go around, I keep that in mind. I also want to be a great dad. I want to be available with my daughter. I also love traveling. So, you know, these are things that like are really important to me and I have values that are from there. So if you have a value set and you're like, hey, I really want to be here because it will allow me to really be able to give and be able to, you know, have more time and really be able to impact in a way that's really powerful, then it can create a real sense of purpose around that. And then when you're doing it, people will see that, oh, this person is not just doing it because they just want to be rich. Like they're not just doing it because they're selfish or they want to have stuff. They're actually saying, how can I also impact the world? So I would say for anybody who's looking to, whether it's, you know, growing their wealth through real estate or some other method, is just say, well, what's the reason I want that? What's the why? And once you get that clarified, it will really make it much easier for you to, you know, find a way forward in that.
And what are the mistakes you see people do when they're in the real estate industry? They're trying to get wealthy.
I think there's a lot of, I mean, that's a pretty general question. I think there's a lot of mistakes people make. I think I'll just talk for passive investors. You know, if somebody is looking to get started, a lot of times, you know, investing in real estate can feel very foreign because, you know, if you've never done it, everything is foreign. It's like, oh, I don't know. That just sounds kind of scary. I've never done that. Or I've never invested in with this other group, or I've never been passive to where I'm not the one actually managing it. But once somebody invests in a deal, and a lot of times I always tell people that are high net worth, like if you've got a lot of money and you're trying to figure out how do I invest or get started, you know, just make a decision. I'm going to look at 5 or 10 deals or find different operators and get on their deal list. And then I'm going to invest in one over the next 2 months. And then you just get started. So a lot of times people really get stuck in analysis paralysis. They'll get stuck, oh, I don't know about this. And they just get kind of busy and then they don't know and then they don't get started, right? So, you know, there's a saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I also think, you know, it's actually making a decision that, hey, you know, I'm going to continue to pursue this. And I'm going to find good partners and you know, other sponsors that are involved with this or other sorts of, you know, develop a network of people in this, and then it will help get you in motion. But I mean, I went to real estate meetups for probably 6 or 7 years before I did anything. And I look back and I'm like, why did I do that? I think I just wasn't really ready to take action, but I wish I had taken action sooner. But, you know, I kind of got the message when I was ready. And so I think for anybody who's saying, hey, you know, I really do want to change my financial life. I really do want to retire from my job. I do really want to try to figure out this making money while I sleep thing. Don't get stuck just in analysis paralysis. Actually take some action. When people actually invest something, usually the deal goes just fine. And then, you know, you'll learn a lot. You know, there'll be a lot of learning that happens along the way.
What are some stuff that you're working right now at the moment?
Like I mentioned, I'm writing a book right now. So I'm writing a book on passive investing. We've got our deals going. We've got our ATM machine fund, our car wash fund. We've got our multifamily that we're continuing to work with. And then I'm just always looking to continue to grow. I'm creating a course on passive investing. How do people, you know, learn more about passive investing? How do they grow? How do they get started? What are some things they should know? And I think, you know, the best investment that we really make is in our own education. So we put out 10 videos a month on YouTube. We're doing a podcast like this as well. And so we're, you know, continually trying to put out information and add value to the community, because a lot of people just really need help. You know, they don't know how to get there. And I think if you can just try to help, you know, add some value and help people on their journey, it really is powerful.
Where can people find you on social media or the internet?
Yeah. So the best way is at Bronson Equity on my website. I have this book. This is called How to Use Inflation to Your Advantage. Everybody's talking about inflation. And if you just have money in the bank, you're losing money. And so there are actually some ways through real estate or through other forms of investing that you can actually take advantage of it. So that's on my website, a free download, 50 color pages. It's at bronsonequity.com. And I also am on all the social medias. We also have, if people want to join our deal club and get on our list when we have awesome deals, they can go to bronsonequity.com and learn more about that too.
Last words in regards to everything we talked about?
No, this has been good. I think, you know, for anybody who is interested in learning more, Tony Robbins has this quote. He says, it's in your moments of decision that your destiny is shaped. So until you make a decision that you want to change your life and become wealthy, or you want to be somebody who makes a difference in the world, it won't change. And to me, I remember making a decision that, okay, within 2-3 years, I'm going to leave my job and I'm going to have replaced my income, not my income, but my living expenses with passive income. And so I think for anyone who's interested in doing that, it just starts with a decision and then you figure out the how later. So make the decision and then, you know, your subconscious will just be like a, you know, antennas up, and you'll figure out, okay, how do I do this? And you just keep finding it until you find, okay, this is the right mentor. This is the right opportunity. And then just try to focus in as much as you can and go for it.
Thank you for listening. If there's any topics you would like me to touch, feel free to reach out to me and I'll do my best to make it happen. I'm on most social media platforms and you could send me an email. You will find the links in the show notes. And also, don't forget, if this is your first time listening to the podcast and you like it, please don't forget to subscribe at the end. Thank you and see you next time.